It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. Stock in Volkswagen is down 20% in Frankfurt right now after U.S. authorities said the company rigged the software on its smaller cars to hide the pollution coming out of its diesel engines. 482,000 cars sold in America, from Golfs to Jettas to Beetles, Passats, and Audi A3s, the ones with diesel engines, are affected and will face some kind of recall. When the news broke on Friday, VW had no comment, but now the CEO, Martin Winterkorn, is weighing in. The BBC's Damian McGuinness in Berlin.
He said that he's deeply sorry for breaking the company's trust, and they've even launched an external investigation. But this is a massive story that they can't get around. This isn't a mistake. This was basically cheating.
Which will not go down well for people who specifically bought those small diesel engines, thinking they were doing something positive for the environment. Do we know what drivers of those cars in the U.S. can now do moving forward?
It's not just going to be the case that you can flick a switch and do a slight adjustment to get the cars within the legal limit if the vehicles are recalled. What this will mean is that the actual power of the vehicle may have to be reduced in order to get it into the legal limit, which again is not what customers paid for and bought and signed up to when they initially got these vehicles.
Now, for Volkswagen, the costs are going to be high. I mean, first of all, there's the potential fine in America per vehicle for this that could run something close to $18 billion. But then, of course, is the cost of whatever remedy for consumers.
It also means that there's going to be a real knock in the brand's credibility, and this could translate into a long-term knock in sales, and the company could even face criminal prosecution. So it's really bad news for Volkswagen, which is already under huge pressure in the American market as it is.
The BBC's Damian McGuinness in Berlin. Damian, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Let's do the numbers. The FT 100 stock index in London is up 0.5%. Hang Seng in Hong Kong closed down 0.75%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.2% range now. Two companies, AB InBev and SAB Miller, currently own 70% of the U.S. beer market, and they want to merge. U.S. regulators may want pieces sold off before they allow this, but if a merger goes through, the resulting beer conglomerate would be a biggie. That has some advertisers worried. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore has more.
SAB Miller and Anheuser-Busch spend a $500 million a year on sports sponsorships.
It's a big bet. Expensive bet.
Beer is one of the biggest players in sports advertising, which is why a merger has Chris Perlman worried.
I think that they'll have a lot more leverage in the marketplace.
Perlman is with Van Wagner Sports and Entertainment. Less competition between beer companies, less need to advertise.
The teams are going to suffer too because they're going to have less leverage to potentially play one beer off of another.
Tom Heidinger is president of Advantage International. He actually doesn't see this happening.
Individual brands within these companies are treated as individual businesses. They all go to market with their own marketing strategies and positioning.
There's also one small detail.
The male 18 to 34 audience.
They watch their sports live, they don't DVR games, so they can't skip commercials, and they drink a lot of beer. Heidinger is betting that if the big beer companies don't keep spending to reach them, other beer companies will. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
Now to a makeover for a bodega, one of those old-school, locally-owned convenience stores in American cities where, you know, in between the lottery tickets and the Mexican Coca-Colas, there's often a cat blinking lazily in the corner. Now, this revamped bodega is located in a gentrifying neighborhood in Brooklyn, New York, and you have to hear what they did to it. From the Marketplace Wealth and Poverty Desk, Chrissy Clark reports.
One of the new signs outside Jesse's Deli this summer, artisanal roach bombs, $15.99. Advertising a can of Raid. Another sign was for
house-cured salami tubes,
$5.99 each.
Actually, they're just Slim Jims. And that Himalayan grass-fed tuna salad for $9.99 a pound? Ghassam Itaim, a.k.a. Jesse, the owner of the bodega, he's not going to lie.
There's no such thing, actually.
Yes, the silly upscale names for basic products are a joke, but the price tags may as well be real, Jesse says. He figures that's about what he'd have to charge to stay in business if his rent goes up as much as his landlord told him she's planning to raise it.
From 4,000 right now, currently, we'll be paying 10,000 if it goes up.
Jesse's landlord did not respond to my interview requests. She said publicly that she offered Jesse under market rent a few years ago, but negotiations broke down. Now, the idea to actually turn all this into public satire, that sprung from the brain of two of Jesse's loyal customers, Doug Cameron and Tommy Noonan. Tommy dubbed it the
artisanal landlord price hike sale.
The ironic ad campaign came naturally to Doug and Tommy. They both work in advertising. And as much as they love an old bodega like Jesse's, Doug says they also like some of the artisanal stuff their joke signs mock.
The pro-artisanal folks, the hipster class, let's call it, are the ones certainly that are driving up the rent. But at the same time, they're the ones who, you know, in many cases, really, really feel strong toward keeping these small businesses.
They've used the mock signs to help rally support for a proposal in New York City that would give more protections to small businesses in the face of big rent hikes. And Doug and Tommy launched phase two of their Save the Bodega satire campaign last weekend. Jesse's Deli is now renting out its shelf space to sleep in on Airbnb. I'm Chrissy Clark from Marketplace.
There are other ways that traditional stores are staying alive amid gentrification. They're discussed as part of our podcast series York and Fig. More infos at marketplace.org. From studios at Montclair State University in New Jersey today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.